This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 18, 2021. The Votive Mass of the Holy Angels by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These last words of that gospel, they're a threat by our Lord Jesus Christ. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that in heaven their angels always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. It's a threat. He's threatening that if you scandalize a little one, he's not talking about chronological age, he's talking about the young ones in Christ, those who are new in Christ. They are scandalized. The threat is not that I will do something to you or that you will upset me. It is that the angels who behold the Father's face in heaven will be the instruments of retribution for scandal. Our Lord threatens with the holy angels. We have to understand that from the scriptures cover to cover, the Old Testament, for instance, we come across several examples that confirm the doctrine that the Catholic Church holds about the guardian angels. Our Lord's own lips speak about the guardian angels in a threatening manner. We have to understand our doctrines. Well, we believe in angels. We're Catholics. What kind of angels do you believe in? Do you believe in the Northern European women angels? Or do you believe in the little infants with the little tiny stubby wings, those kind of angels? Well, guess what? Neither one of those is an angel. We have no indication whatsoever in Scripture that they look like Northern European women or that they're little infants that bob around on the clouds. Every time we read about them, they are scary. Our Lord speaks of them and he threatens with them. Every time people see the holy angels throughout the Scriptures, they fall on their face as if they were dead. Every time. These are angels. We need to come to grips with the fact this should be very refreshing and it should be very foundational for us. This should be something that comforts us to understand the ones that are our guardians are not Northern European women or little infants that bob around. The angels that protect us are God's warriors. They are God's soldiers. We should take great solace in that. That as long as they are protecting us, and as long as we stay behind their shields, we've got nothing to worry about until God tells them different, until God tells them to step aside and let us fend for ourselves for a bit. Okay, that's what happens when we die. Your angel is told, the one who's protected you for maybe 90 years, 95 years, who's watched after you that whole time, when God says, step back. Guess what they do immediately, without question? They step back. Why? Because this is the side. It's not just we have like the big guy on our side, like all the old, you know, all the bully movies that you see when the kid that gets bullied has the big, huge friend that steps in and beats up all the bullies. You know, it's not a matter of that so much. It's a matter that they behold the Father's face in heaven. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks of this. He says, and I quote, "Whithersoever the angels be sent, and wheresoever they are, they never cease to live in him who is to be found everywhere, even in God, the vision of whom makes their heaven their joy. Everywhere the holy angels are, they behold the face of God." See, they're spiritual beings. We're not. You know, we try to buy another. Well, my guardian angel's down here. You know, does he like take trips up to heaven every now and then? Does he? No, he constantly sees the face of God. Your guardian angel is a conduit between you and God, the heavens and the earth. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ, remember when he picks his disciples, And Nathanael's like, Lord, you're the king of Israel. You tell him, the king of Israel, because I said I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater works than these. You will see angels ascending and descending. That whole Jacob's ladder thing, that vision of angels ascending and descending. That's not that angels crawl up and down a ladder all the time. It's they're constantly between heaven and earth. This is why they do us so much good. They do us a great amount of good because they ever behold the face of God. And because they ever behold the face of God, we should invoke them and then fear. We should invoke the holy angels when we are in times of necessity, like in which we find ourselves now in the world and in the church. We should invoke the holy angels. You should start by talking to your guardian angel. And then praying to St. Michael the Archangel, St. Gabriel the Archangel, St. Raphael the Archangel, and then our Lord and our Blessed Mother, Queen of Angels, that she intercedes, that the angels will be sent to fix things down here. I said we invoke them, and after we invoke them, then we should fear. We should fear greatly, because when the angels step in, things get done. Things get fixed. But it is generally at a price. That first reading from today, from 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Interesting, there are some events in the Old Testament that are so pointed, they are actually provided in parallel. 1 Chronicles 21, 2 Samuel 24, same exact incident. The incident is, King David, who, I know, we know he dropped the ball with Bathsheba. Okay, we know he has a tendency to slip up every now and then and fall flat on his face. Although he be a man after God's own heart, he is still a human being. Well, David, in his pride and wanting to know how many people were in his kingdom, he decides to take a census. His general Joab, who is no pristine paragon of spirituality, but he knows and fears God. He tells King David, I pray that you see in your lifetime the people that you have now increase 100-fold. But don't do this. And David, as it says, his reason prevailed against Joab. So Joab does what he says and goes out and numbers the people. God gets upset. God gives King David a choice, three choices. Three choices, David. You messed up and you messed up bad. Again, three choices. One, 3 years of famine in the kingdom. Two, 3 months of running from your enemies while they chase you around like your son Absalom did. You know what you lost then, David. 3 months of that or 3 days of pestilence in the land. David said, and rightfully so, David says that it is a good thing to turn myself over to the Lord's pestilence because it is better to fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great, than to fall into the hands of men. So he picks the 3 days of pestilence and relies on God's mercy. In that 3 days, we read in the scripture, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel from the morning to the appointed time, and there died the people of Israel, 70,000 men, 70,000 people killed by the angel of the Lord. And after the 3 days, kind of interesting, went, like I said, you invoke them, you fear them. David bared his throat. 3 days of pestilence. Okay. We probably had in the back of his mind, well, 3 days of people will get sick or, it'll be some kind of... No, 3 days of the angel of the Lord walking about from Dan to Beersheba. 70,000 people died and the angel was heading toward Jerusalem. And God said, sheath your sword. And the angel just stops. 70,000 people in 3 days. Do the math. And then he stops immediately when God says, stop. David, relieved that the angel had stopped, as soon as the angel stops, David, I need to give offering to the Lord. He buys a threshing floor at the place where he is. He buys a threshing floor and he knows the angel stopped there. And it says, David could not go before the altar inquire of God, for he was terrified of the sword of the angel of the Lord. This man has killed hundreds of people. This man has been in more battles than most of us have been in verbal arguments in our life. This man kills people with his bare hands. He lives in a day and time when you fight wars, you stab people or you bash their brains out or you choke them to death. That's King David. So this man is not shy, and there are a lot of terrifies him. He won't go near this place where he knows the angel is because he is terrified by the sword. This is what we need to understand about angels. Like I said, that story is presented to us two times to make us understand. I would submit to you that we are in a time where we need to invoke the holy angels within the church, within the society, no matter what it may cost. Because at the end of the day, what happened is true, that to rely on God's mercy, because 70,000 people died because you hit. Yeah, that's how particular and how serious God is about things. In our land, we kill babies. We kill babies on the altar of personal convenience. That's not worse than taking a census to see how many people are in your kingdom. Can you imagine the wrath of God that is hanging over? So we need to invoke the angels. They come and fix this before it gets any worse. And you know what? If God hears our prayers, it's going to be ugly. Because we have the same thing going on right now. Did King David just come up with this on the top of his head? I think I'm going to make God mad and number the people. No, the first words of scripture when this starts, Satan stood up against Israel. Satan stood up against them. Satan, the tempter, he tempted King David to do something and David fell into it and he did it. What's going on in the church right now? It says the gates of hell will not prevail against her, but it doesn't say they won't batter her into rubble. We need to get this fixed. We can. I was actually on my way in this morning. I was doing my rosary on the way in. I'm thinking, it really struck me. I was thinking to myself, why am I praying for this? Because it's hopeless. That's why it came into my head. The situation, church, it's hopeless. It really is hope. And then I was like, what a fool you are. No, it's not. God step in and fix it overnight. It's hopeless as far as we're concerned. That's how he does things. He wants everybody to know that it's up to him and not up to us. That is the reality of things. We need to start stepping back and go invoke his reality into this world. We need to do it. That's the only way things are going to get fixed, because we can't fix it. It's that far gone. We cannot fix this. There is no way any human being on the face of this planet, it's too far gone. Well, maybe the next administration won't do this and do that or that. He stacked the deck. That's all there is to it. Not enough people know Catholicism in our day and age to even care what's going on in the church in a lot of places. They have no clue that the church is on fire and falling down around them. No clue whatsoever. Everything fine. I go to Mass on Sunday. Clueless. This is going to take heavenly intervention. That's all there is to it. And like I said, it's going to be ugly. We just need to prepare ourselves for that, because if we don't invoke it to get cleaned up right now, if it gets dirtier, his wrath is just going to be kindled more and more against us. This is the reality of things. Yeah, so we should invoke the angels, knowing that they serve a good God, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, wherever they go, where they be sent, they never cease to live in him. They are in complete union with him. They're not like us who fell and the union was broken. They're still in union with him. Say the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis. He was an Anglican, but I think if he lived today, and I think he'd be a member of the Ordinariate. I actually think. C.S. Lewis, in the Chronicles of Narnia, Aslan the lion, the king, if you're familiar with that classic work, Aslan's a lion. And the first time some people see Aslan, they're like, is he safe? Because he's a lion, you know. Is he safe? And the guy that shows him the lion says, no, but he's good. Those are our holy angels. Are they safe? No. Are they bouncy little infants? No. Are they Northern European women? No. They're holy angels that will scare you to death if you just see them, much less if they're acting on you. This is what we need to understand about them. This is why we shouldn't shy away of invoking them. Because just like King David fell into it, collectively in this society, we have listened to Satan. Satan has stood up against us, and we've bought into it, and now we're paying the price. We need to turn ourselves over to the Lord and his holy angels. Because the last verse of the reading for the first, so the Lord heeded supplications for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. Kind of interesting, look at that. 70,000 people dead, and the plague was averted from Israel. That's my point. 70,000 people died, but the plague was averted, meaning it could have been much, much worse than that. Like I said, that angel of the Lord was on his way to Jerusalem, a city of a million, depending on what time of year it was. And the angel was going to do to them just like he did throughout the land until God stayed his hand. This is what we need to pray for. We need to invoke the holy angels. We need to understand that God is merciful, but we also need to prepare ourselves for what we're asking. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.